This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. He was a heartthrob of the 50s, blonde and clean-cut. He made the covers of all the movie magazines. He was described as the boy next door, the all-American boy, Hollywood's most eligible bachelor. He starred opposite Natalie Wood and Sophia Loren. And he was gay. Now Tab Hunter has written a memoir about what it was like to keep that secret in Hollywood. The book is called Tab Hunter Confidential. Hunter made more than 50 films, including Damn Yankees, Battle Cry, That Kind of Woman, Ride the Wild Surf, and The Life and Times of Judge Roy Bean. Hunter spoofed his own image in John Waters' 1981 film Polyester, in which he seduces a suburban housewife played by Divine, a 300-pound man, in drag. Tab Hunter, welcome to Fresh Air. I'm so glad you wrote this book. You know, you're one of the few actors who can talk about what it was like to be a heartthrob in the 50s while you were in the closet, or at least I should say you're the only one who's willing to talk about it if there's more out there. So I'm really glad you wrote it. How long have you been out?
Well, thank you. You know, I had to write the book. Number one, the reason I wrote the book, and I think that's important, is because I heard someone else was going to be writing a book about me. And I figured, look, get it from the horse's mouth, not from some horse's ass after I'm dead and gone, because we all know how people put their own spin on things. And I figured, I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be very truthful. And, you know, I hope it's a good read, but also you get the facts from me. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm not an out there kind of a person. I never have been. I've always been a very private person. I had a very strong mother who said things like, you know, nothing in your life is for show, do this, you know, hold back, you this, this. And consequently, what do? I wind up in show business. I mean, it's pretty ironic.
But, you know, I'm wondering if you felt you had to be an actor off the screen as well as on the screen, because off screen you had to act the role of Tab Hunter. You were gay, Tab Hunter was supposed to be straight. And also, I mean, the name wasn't yours. And, you know, let's face it, a lot of actors had personas off screen that the Hollywood studio created for them. But when you're in the closet, that sense of a persona is even more extreme.
I think a lot of people place importance on all of that, you know, being in the closet and this and that. You know, number one, you're a human being. You have to be yourself, and that's the most important thing. Of course, you have conflicts and all of that within yourself. At the time, I had a lot of those. And I was a young, wide-eyed kid thrown into the studio system and starring in motion pictures, and I loved it. I mean, God, what young man wouldn't love all that stuff? But by the same token, my touch of reality in a really unrealistic world were my horses, my love of my animals. I mean, the horses were my touch of reality in an unrealistic world.
So, did you know that you were gay when you became a movie star?
Did I know I was gay? The word didn't even exist when I was a movie star. I mean, this is something only in the last, you know, I don't know how long, but no, I was, number one, I'm a human being. That's what it's all about. I knew I had these, you know, that my sexuality was different than the average person, but I had the conflicts of living with that.
Did the studio... Like, who in Hollywood knew about your sexual orientation? Because this would have been a big issue had it been revealed. So did the studio heads know? Did other actors know?
I never said anything. I was very quiet. I was, you know, nothing. I never was out there, so to speak. Not at all. The people who knew, I'm sure, probably my agent, Dick Clayton, the studio had to know because I saw a memo when I was researching, you know, when I was doing my work at the archives for the book. You know, George, what's his name? George Abbott, who produced Damn Yankees, didn't want me for the film. He thought I was a little, to quote his memo to Jack Warner, a little light in the loafers or whatever. But that's his problem, not mine. Jack Warner said, look, I bought Damn Yankees for Tab Hunter. I bought Pajama Game for Doris Day. Tab is going to do the film. I mean, I have no idea what went on in the offices of the studios other than when I had questions to ask them myself.
You had a relationship with Tony Perkins for a couple of years. Were there places you could be together without anyone knowing that you were more than buddies? I mean, were you able to be out in public together?
I'd go out with Tony. We'd go to premieres. We'd go to movies. We'd go to the opening of the Ice Capades. and things like that. We might double date to go out. Tony was a little uncomfortable sometimes going out, like if we just go out to a movie or something like that. And in those days, he would wear a baseball cap and sunglasses or something. Maybe, who knows, maybe he didn't want to be seen with me. I have no idea. But I never worried about it that much, really. He'd take his car someplace. I'd take my car someplace. Occasionally, we'd go in the same car. I knew Tony for about 3 years. And, he was a very, very fine actor, a very busy young man doing plays on Broadway and films in Europe and films at Paramount. He was under contract to Paramount. And I was at Warner Brothers. So we had our own careers and our own lives aside from the time we had spent together.
Mm-hmm. You write that he had shock therapy to try to turn himself straight. Was that when you knew him?
No, that was quite a number of years after.
What was your reaction when you heard that?
I was literally shocked. Yeah, I was quite surprised.
Were you ever?
But I did see Tony a few years before he passed away, and I saw Barry and the children up at the house, and it was just wonderful to see that. It really was. I was very, very happy for him.
Were you ever troubled in that kind of way about being gay yourself? I mean, he underwent shock therapy to try to change. Did you ever feel pressured enough or uncomfortable enough to want to change that badly?
And I mean, the change, I think you have to learn to be comfortable with what you are. I mean, I'm not going to lie to myself and, say I thought of getting married a couple of times, but I thought that would be so deceitful, so untrue. That wouldn't be fair. And fair is a wonderful four-letter word beginning with F that we really aren't always fair in our lives, and I think we have to be.
An article that could have really damaged you, but didn't, was published in 1955 in the tabloid Confidential, and it was headlined "The Lowdown on That Disorderly Conduct Charge Against Tab Hunter." You reprint a paragraph from this in your book, and I'd like to just read some of it just to give a sense of what those times were like.
And that's just one article in Confidential. I think I made three covers and four articles.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me just read some of this. It all started with a vice cop who was drifting in and out of Hollywood's queer bars on the afternoon of October 14th, looking and listening for tips on the newest notions of the limp-wristed lads. Pausing for a scotch and water in one gay joint, the deputy struck up a conversation with a couple of lispers who happily prattled that they were set for a big binge that very evening at 2501 Hope Street in a suburb of L.A. One drink led to another, and the pair finally invited the snooper to come along. There was only one dashing requirement: bring pajamas.
Please.
Since breaking up such queer romps was his business, the detective pretended to fall in with his barroom chums and arranged to accompany them. Between snorts, however, he called the Los Angeles Sheriff's Office for reinforcements. Wow, what was your reaction when you read this article?
You see why I wrote my own book? I'm not going to have some garbage like this spilled out there. I was a kid out of the Coast Guard, and a friend of mine, Terry Marsteller, who's passed away, said, "Do you want to go to a party this evening?" I said, "Fine." So I went and I walked in, and I'd been to a gay party before, big deal. So I saw a couple guys dancing and a couple people dancing over here and there and a couple women dancing over there. I thought, oh gosh, it's one of those parties. So I walked to the refrigerator, literally opened the refrigerator, started to reach in for something to eat, and some cops came in and took us all downtown. Big deal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was 15 and a half years old, 16 and a half years old.
So you were about 21 when this was published.
Yes, and the interesting story is this, that Confidential magazine was going to be doing a story on Rock Hudson. So our agent at the time was Henry Wilson, and Henry did not want that. So what he did was he said, "Look, kill the story on Rock Hudson. I'll give you two stories." And he gave Confidential magazine the story on Rory Calhoun being in prison and on my being at that party.
Wow. Isn't that called betrayal?
No kidding. That's Hollywood, my dear.
Wow. So was the story they were going to write about Rock Hudson about him being gay?
I have no idea. I have no idea what the story was going to be about, but they were going to do some scandalous thing, I'm sure, on Rock.
So how did you find out that it was your agent who gave them the story?
Because it came out.
much later? Or?
Oh, yes, it did. And I was shocked to hear that.
So you and Rock Hudson had the same agents?
Yes, Henry Wilson was the agent for Rory Calhoun, Guy Madison, Rock, myself, a number of people. And he discovered Lana Turner. He was Natalie Wood's agent for a short while. Rhonda Fleming he discovered. I mean, a number of people.
By the time you found out, was he still your agent?
That's why he gave it to, because I was no longer his. He was no longer my agent.
Oh, he was no longer your agent at the time he gave it.
No, I left Henry and went with Dick Layton when Dick became an agent, because Dick was my oldest friend, and to this day he still is. You know, he's 90 years old. God bless him, and he's a beautiful human being. And I always said that when you're an agent, I want to be your client.
Okay, so this article that I quoted is really obnoxiously written. It's published to cause a scandal, knowing that it could hurt you. Did anybody take the bait? I mean, what happened after this? And it was a distortion of a party you'd actually went to, but the party was busted. So they could say, oh, no, this is factually correct. You know, he was at this party. The party was busted. So
the press.
So what happened afterwards? What were the consequences?
Well, the consequence, I became the biggest star at Warner Brothers at that time. Explain it to me, please. I don't understand what happened.
So instead of this article hurting your career, are you saying it helped
you?
Or was it just...
No, I don't think it helped me. But I do think that people believe what they want to believe.
Did anyone ever try to blackmail you?
Oh, a couple times, yeah. I wrote about it in the book.
So what did you do?
I talked to my friend Martha, who's an attorney, and we just got to get out of this nonsense. I mean, I just hate people that think like that. You know, I just can't tolerate that kind of behavior.
So how did you end it?
I let Martha take care of it for me.
And you don't know what Martha did?
I think we gave this person some money. Just say, get the heck out of here. Get out of my life.
How did you become an actor? You're one of those actors who became famous without having gone to acting school, though far fewer people went to acting school back then. But, I mean, you learned by doing it. So how did you get to do it in the first place?
Well, I was discovered at the stable as a stable boy, shoveling the real stuff. And I then was introduced to an agent later. At first, I was a young, wide-eyed kid going, wow, look at this, look what's happening. But then I realized, no, if you've got to have some staying power. You've got to have some legs. So that was important to me, to really learn my craft. And I was very fortunate to work with some really sensational people.
Now, you had a singing career, too.
Oh, yes.
Your biggest hit was Young Love. Whose idea was it for you to start recording? Was this something you wanted to do, or something that a music or film executive thought would be a good idea?
No, I always liked singing very much. I sang in the choir at St. Paul's Parochial School, and I loved music. My mother would always encourage me to sing. She kept saying, you've got a nice voice. You've got a really good voice. You should sing more. You should sing more. And I studied singing because I was hoping that one day I would get to do a musical, whether it be in the theater or in film. But Natalie and I were in Chicago for the promotion of The Burning Hills, and Howard Miller had a huge radio show. He was a major disc jockey. And he said, gosh, you should put out a record if you can sing. And I said, well, I love to sing. He said, well, let me put you in touch with Randy Wood at Dot Records. Dot is where Pat Boone, Bonnie Guitar, you know, oh, gosh, just go on another, Gail Storm, a lot of people were there. So I met with Randy. He heard me sing. He gave me a song called Young Love. He just was very excited. We went in and recorded on a Friday. By Monday, 100,000 records had been shipped, and it shot up to number one in the nation for quite some time.
What were some of the differences between how you were treated in the recording industry when you had hit records and how you were treated in the film industry? In terms of the way you were marketed, how people treated you as a person?
Well, the interesting thing, even a more interesting story, I think, than that is the fact that Warner Brothers had me under contract. That meant for everything. Mm-hmm. So I did, I cut this record for Dot. And Warner's thought, whoa, wait a minute, we can't have that. You're under contract to us. So they immediately stopped me from releasing 100,000 advance copies of an album that I had done and a number of things. So I went on a tour that they sent, the studio sent me on, and I asked everyone, they wanted me to talk about the spirit of St. Louis. Well, we all know that Jimmy Stewart, you know, played Lindbergh, and he and a fly flew across the Atlantic and landed safely at Le Bourget. So people would say, yeah, we know that. But what about your records? What about this? What about that? And they were always asking about those things. So I said, why don't you all drop a little note to Mr. Jack Warner, care of Warner Brothers Studios, Burbank, California? So they did, and Warner hit the roof. So he thought, we've got to do something about this. And it took him a long time, but he actually started Warner Brothers Records because of me.
Oh, really?
I was the first recording artist on that label.
So that they could release records by the people who they, quote, owned.
And then, yes, and then I recorded for Warner Brothers also. In fact, I've just released a CD with tunes from my Dot, originals from the Dot and the Warner Brothers label.
Well, why don't we hear your 1957 hit, your first hit, Young Love.
They say for every boy and girl there's just one love in this whole world, and I know I found mine. The heavenly touch of your embrace tells me no one could take your place.
That's Tab Hunter and his first hit, Young Love. And Tab Hunter has a new memoir, and it's called Tab Hunter Confidential, The Making of a Movie Star. John Waters cast you in his film Polyester. Divine plays, Divine, who was a 300-pound man who played the leading lady in a lot of John Waters' movies, plays a very put-upon housewife who learns that her husband is secretly a pornographer. And you play the owner of what, an art house movie theater?
Art house drive-in.
An art house drive-in, that's right. An art house drive-in. And you kind of seduce Divine with ulterior motives that she is not aware of. But you sweep her off her feet. And I thought I'd play a scene between the two of you.
All right.
Pretty horrible, isn't it?
Oh, those poor people. Did you see it happen?
Yes, I saw it happen.
I was following that van. That other thing cut right in front, bam, hit it head on.
Excuse me. Oh. It's really horrible.
Oh, it is. It's just too horrible. I can't look.
You know, why don't we take a ride in the country and get away from all this mess? I mean, it's a beautiful day, and I find you quite attractive.
But I don't even know your name.
It's Todd, honey.
Todd?
Todd Tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Francine Fishbaugh.
Francine Fishbaugh. Beautiful name, fits you well. Yeah, I got something I want to show you.
Yes?
It's long.
Ooh.
And it's sleek.
Ooh.
And it's powerful.
Ooh, what is it, Todd?
It's my new vet.
That's Tab Hunter and a Divine in a scene from John Waters' film Polyester. Tab Hunter, what was it like for you to do this movie?
Well, I was just finishing a play in Minneapolis or somewhere in the Midwest, and I got a phone call from John, and he said, I'm doing a film, and I'd love for you to do it if you're available. And I said, well, I do. Why don't you send me the script? He said, well, I have to tell you, it's with a 300-pound transvestite. And I said, so? I love your work. I'm a big fan of yours, John. Who could ever forget Pink Flamingos, you know? Or who could ever forget the Diana Linkletter story? So John sent me the script, and I thought, what have I got to lose? I've got everything to gain. It's a wonderful opportunity to work with a really creative man who's fun, has a great sense of humor. Divine, I had met at a cocktail party that David Hockney had a number of years prior to that, and I thought this would be a wonderful experience. So I had about about 10 days off or 2 weeks off prior to opening a play in another city. So I did the film for John at that time, went to Baltimore. John shoots all of his films in Baltimore. And it was a fun experience, I've got to tell you. It was really great.
Tab Hunter, his new memoir is called Tab Hunter Confidential. Here's Tab Hunter singing the theme from Polyester. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.